Count Stauffenberg, you were 10 years old at the time of the July 20th plot. Could you say what you remember of your father up to that time?
Well, when the Second World War broke out, I was 5 years old. From then on, my father was away most of the time, naturally. And then he came home for visits, not very frequent visits, except after he was wounded in 1943. He spent several weeks of reconvalescence with us. So my memory is one of patchy meetings with my father. My father was a very lively man, a gay man who laughed a lot. He was strict with us. I think in those days, most parents were strict with their children. And he was the ultimate authority. Although, as I like to say, most of the time, a quoted authority, quoted by my mother. We loved him very much. He was just as one wanted one's father to be.
You looked up to him?
Yes, certainly.
Now, he was, as you described, very seriously injured in 1943, and many men in his situation would have resigned from military duty at that point, which he may well have been able to do, but he didn't. He must have been a very determined man.
Well, he certainly was, although it was not that uncommon for men who had been seriously wounded to go back into service. I think, in fact, that it was quite normal, as long as they could do it. I mean, to have lost an arm or a leg didn't stop people to go back to military work.
How did that change him? Did it change his personality or his character in any way? He lost his sight in one eye. He lost two fingers on one of his hands, and he lost his other hand.
Yeah. I honestly can't say that, at least in my eyes, it changed him a bit. That doesn't say that in reality he had become more serious. Could well be, but I didn't notice it.
And when did you last see your father?
Well, he came home for a short holiday in June, in early June 44. Spent, let's say, a week or so, I can't remember really, with us in Bamberg.
So you were in Bamberg, and that was the last time you saw him. And was there anything out of the ordinary in his behavior?
Not for me to see.
No.
No.
And then, 1 month later, roughly, the conspiracy unfolded. How did you find out about it?
Well, I first heard of it from the radio. It said there had been a plot against the Führer. I wanted to know more about it, and then the adults tried to keep me and my brother away from the radio. And it was only when my mother then, on the next day, told us, my next younger brother and me, that it was actually my father who had committed the attempt on Hitler, that we knew. And that was a huge shock. Because we had no idea what my father had been involved in. My mother knew, but she had found out and then confronted him with it. And, you know, we were like other children at the time. You know, we were, if you like, little Nazis, but not more and not less than other children. But that somebody could try to kill Hitler, the Führer, that was unimaginable. And when I asked my mother, but why did he do it? She said he thought he had to do it for Germany.
And what did you feel at that time?
Well, I was totally confused and remained confused for a long time.
How did you feel towards your father?
I couldn't understand why he had done it, but I didn't feel hostile to him in any way.
No hostility, no anger, no shame?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, remember that exactly, you know, but as I say, I was confused.
And then, how did other people where you were, in the place where you were, react to you after that? What happened? Where did you go?
Well, we were lucky that we were in that village where most people, were very loyal towards the family. Ours had been the family there for a long time. You know, my grandmother had done a lot for the people in the village and was greatly revered. Of course, people were afraid to speak out, but they let us know their sympathy. In other places, that might have been different.
How did they indicate their sympathy?
Well, I mean, just the way they behaved, you know. They showed that they felt sorry for us. They didn't call my father or the family traitors, which happened apparently in other places. They didn't show the Gestapo, which then occupied the house, any sympathy. I mean, we stayed there another 3 weeks. My mother was picked up the night after, my grandmother one night later, and her sister, and with my mother, a brother of my grandmother's who had been involved in the plot, which we didn't know. And he was eventually tried and executed.
And then after 3 weeks, you were also moved away from there.
Yes, well, that came very sudden. We were told our nanny, she was with us still, and my grandmother's housekeeper, that they would have to pack for us and we would be taken to a place we didn't know the following day.
And where did you go?
Well, we were taken to the children's home in Bad Zaksa, which is the southern Harz Mountains. That was an ordinary children's home. It was a sort of holiday resort for workers' children, which had been founded by a Bremen merchant and then taken over by the NSV, which was sort of a Nazi Red Cross organization. And that had been cleared for the likes of us. We were the first to arrive. And then the following days, more and more children came from other families who had been involved in the 20th of July plot.
Did you know where your mother was?
No.
You must have been very worried.
Yes, we were, true.
You must have been very afraid.
Yes. Not for our own safety. That never occurred to me that somebody would try to do something against us. But I was worried about my mother and the others, you know. I mean, I had no idea where the others were.
And when did you and when and how did you hear that your father had been executed?
Well, that straight away. I mean, that was in the news that he had been shot, you know. So by the time my mother told us, we knew already that he was dead.
And how did you see then the Führer at that point?
Oh, well, that is a good question. I don't really know. I don't think his position with me had changed very much at the time.
Was he a hero for you?
He was not a hero. He was the head of state.
But he was not just the head of state. He was the Führer, the leader.
Yes, but we had come to believe that that was a natural position for him to be the head of state, mm-hmm. just like a king, I suppose, or what. Mm-hmm. After all, I wasn't grown up, you know.
Did you ever meet him?
No, never.
How do you explain, if you consider the People's Court and the terrible trials and executions of thousands of people after the events of July 20th, how do you explain that your lives were even spared at all?
Well, they couldn't really try us for anything, could they?
Not try, but so many people were killed, some summarily shot.
It is a mistake to believe that the Nazis were well organized. They were not. And there were constant orders and counter orders, and there was a time when we should have been brought to Buchenwald concentration camps to join the adults. That went wrong because we ran into an air raid, and the station of Nordhausen was bombed, and the town was bombed too, terribly, and no trains moved. So we had to go back to the home, and there we stayed. Well, I suppose, to a degree, it was just luck that we were, in the end, reunited without that much further loss. I mean, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who shouldn't have been arrested at all. She died of typhus in a camp on the way from the first concentration camp to, in the end, Dachau.
You say that it was just luck that as many of you survived as they did. Did you ever consider that perhaps your father had taken a huge risk with your lives?
Of course he had, and he knew it. And my mother knew it. But, I mean, that was the idea of duty, certainly in those days, you know, that one had a greater duty to one's country than family at the end, you know. It may seem strange to some people nowadays. Well, but I've never grudged this.
And your father was also a believing Catholic. According to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, it was a sin to do what he did.
Well, I think he became a more strongly Catholic only towards the end of his life, when, I mean, he had to face some very serious questions. I think one can assume, with good reason, that he went to confession. And I mean, even the Catholic Church will condone the murder of a tyrant under certain conditions. One of the leading members of the Chrysler Circle was a Jesuit called Alfred Delp. I think my father probably discussed it with him. I know that he came, I think during that last holiday, he came to visit us in Bamberg, which I didn't know he did it secretly. I think in the end, the Prussian Protestants had more problems with killing Hitler. That has to do with the teaching of the Lutheran Church, you know, because they couldn't recognize the Pope. They needed a head of church, and the monarch was the head of the local church. And you didn't kill the head of the church, did you?
And then, of course, the military oath of loyalty to the Führer.
Yes, I think that is something that has been exaggerated. That was not the original meaning of the oath. It came to be a more and more sacred thing fairly late on. Originally, the oath was a contract between the person who promised to serve to the one who he wanted to serve. You know, I hope this doesn't sound too arrogant, but our family had been one of three imperial knights. They were subject only to the emperor and considered themselves not exactly equal, but, well, a little equal to the territorial rulers like the Duke of Württemberg or the Elector of Bavaria and so on, or the prince bishops. And the oath had to be kept by both sides, by the one who swore the oath and the one who took it. And my father considered that Hitler had broken the oath, and he was no longer tied to it.
And when you look back now, what do you think about what your father did?
Well, I think that's difficult to put in two words. I think he did the right thing. And also, the chance that they would succeed was not great. Had it succeeded, nobody knows what would have happened. There might have been civil war. The political situation would not have been that different from what it actually became. I mean, the Allies insisted on unconditional surrender. They had already discussed and maybe already decided more or less what should have become of Germany and the partition and all that. But, of course, a great many lives would have been saved. Cities would not have been destroyed that were. I mean, there were more people were killed after July 44 until the end of the war, more Germans, than all those years before. And Dresden wouldn't have been destroyed, and Würzburg and Pforzheim and what have you, you know. The other thing is that he and his fellow conspirators were proof of the fact that not all Germans were Nazi. The Allies were not overjoyed over this. They went under the slogan that all Germans were Nazis, and a crusade had to destroy this ideology.
But even your father, it can be said, served the Nazis for many years. Whether he was a member of the party or not, he fought in campaigns in Russia, in the Sudetenland, in France, where German armies killed many people.
True, but we have a different idea of politics and war nowadays than up to the Second World War. That may have changed that view, but at that time, war was an accepted means of conducting politics. Even those officers and reserve officers who were violently opposed to Hitler from the beginning, when the nation called them up for service, they went. Like in all other countries, at that time nobody could imagine what crimes the Nazis would commit during the war. The war only made it easier to keep them secret.
Why did you yourself decide to pursue a military career?
Well, it's a question I'm often asked, because I thought that was really the right thing for me.
Did it have anything to do with your father?
Well, yes. I knew that he would make it more difficult for me. Faced with him, I would be compared.
Were there ever moments when you were growing up that you wished your father were there to ask certain questions?
Oh, certainly.
Like when?
Many times, you know. I mean, I probably would have consulted him about my wish to become a soldier. Because perhaps, had he been still alive, I wouldn't have wanted to become a soldier, you know. Nobody knows, you know.
But what questions would you ask him about July 20th? What questions would you ask him about that decision in his life?
Well, I mean, I would have liked to ask him how he came to his decision. I mean, many people would like to ask him that, you know, and books have been written about that. And, of course, today I would ask him what the values that he set for me and a lot of other people, was I up to them?
And what are those values, do you think?
Well, basically, that you have to have your moral standards. You can't compromise on them. You have to be able to look yourself in the mirror every morning. That doesn't mean that I'm not like most people, that I'm not a sinner, but at least that you realize you've done wrong when you have.
Is your father still, for you, a hero, would you say, one of your heroes, or do you have other heroes now?
I'm not sure I have any heroes, but if I have, he's certainly one.
And how do you think your father should be remembered?
We have a principle in our immediate family that we believe that the public honoring of my father is a responsibility of the public. If they want to do it, fine. If not, fine. It has nothing to do with how we look at our father in the family.
So you feel people should be free to choose themselves what to make of your father?
Yes, yes. If we hadn't learned this after the war, democracy and free speech and all that, mm-hmm. if people don't like what my father did, that's their privilege.
What if people were to glorify your father in an exaggerated way or to heroize him, idealize him? Would you object to that?
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because I'm suspicious of any idolizing and heroizing. For me, my father was a man of flesh and blood. If he was a hero, he was not Superman. And one shouldn't make him something that he wasn't really.
And how do you feel about the fact that now several films, in fact, have been made of your father, very different films, documentary films as well as feature films, and now a new, what looks like is going to become a blockbuster film, including Tom Cruise playing your father. How do you feel about Hollywood making a major film about your father?
Well, I don't object to films being made about my father. And of course, I realize that there's a difference between a drama and a documentary. A documentary I expect to be as factual as possible. I realize that in a drama, other aspects come in, like it must be dramatic. And if it isn't, you better make it dramatic. But if they invent things just to please the public or whatever, then I don't like it particularly.
Have you seen many of these films yourself?
Yes, I think I've seen all of them. The one with Sebastian Koch by Jo Bayer, it was basically a good film, mm-hmm. but there was some parts which annoyed me. One was perhaps a bit ridiculous, you know, the engagement of our parents in the Bayreuth opera where Hitler was present. That was a 100% invention. My mother was shown as objecting to my father's plans. And of course, this was actually untrue. My mother probably didn't like it, but she agreed with my father that something must be done. Anyway, she was so loyal that it would never have occurred to her to criticize him seriously. And, my mother actually saw this 2 years before she died. Well, she didn't say much about it.
And now the makers of this new film have gotten permission to film actually in the Bendler Block, the very courtyard and building where your father was executed.
Well, that's what I read in the papers. But originally, I'd said they can't film. I mean, mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can reproduce a site probably more accurate than the original, if that's possible. And of course, the location has changed, you know, where my father's office is now part of a sort of a museum. The courtyard is different from at the time when then, you know, there's this monument.
It's a very meaningful place to many Germans. You must have been there very often yourself.
Well, I have been several times. They have changed it several times over. And I haven't seen it in its recent configuration. It was 1954 that statue was unveiled. I actually unveiled it.
What happened to your father's body?
Nobody knows. I mean, he was first, they were interred in a cemetery in Berlin, and then the following night the SS took it out and they were cremated and the ashes were spread somewhere.
You have a bust of your father here as a young man in your living room, surrounded by pictures of yourself. I believe in some of the pictures, pictures of your parents with children, with yeah. siblings, and I believe cousins.
One is my father with me when I was, I suppose, three, mm-hmm. four.
The picture on the right, yeah. And you have a crucifix hanging next to his head. It's like almost like a family sanctuary.
Well, it's never occurred to me that it looked like that. Mm-hmm. You find the odd crucifix here in the house.
Mm-hmm. And photo or paintings of ancestors from the 18th century. This engraving here on the other is the Prince Bishop of Bamberg. So you come from a very prominent family and very old, distinguished family.
Well, if you want to look like that, yes, okay.
How do you feel about Tom Cruise playing your father?
Well, I've said my thing, actually, and I really don't want to add anything to that.
You don't feel that he's suitable to play him?
No, I don't. I don't feel he's suitable, really. His private use is his thing. But he is a prominent, outspoken member of an organization which calls itself a church, what we sometimes call a sect. Mm-hmm. Now, all that is really Christian terms. What I know by Scientology is that it is a pagan belief, comparable to the old Germanic religion, except science fiction, of course.
And on the other hand, many people predict, for example, in the Spiegel magazine, they predicted that this film could actually radically change the view that people around the world have of what it was like for the Germans under Hitler.
Yes, I cannot exclude that. And it is unjust of me to believe now that this will be a bad film when it may turn out to be a good film. It's just that I have my reservations. Reservations that have to do with Hollywood and the way they make films.
One final question. Hollywood creates a lot of our heroes, virtual heroes, people we look up to because they're beautiful, sexy, famous, rich. Your father was a hero to many people as well. He represents for many people somebody who lived in accordance with his principles under the most difficult circumstances. What can you say about your own ideas, being the son of Klaus Count von Stauffenberg? As his son, what would you say you have learned in your life about heroes and heroism?
Well, there you assume that I think in terms of heroes. I don't, you know. Heroes and heroism is not the same. I mean, what many people now think are their heroes, it has nothing to do with any heroism that they have done. And it also something very private. You know, you have your own heroes or you don't have them, you know. This is perhaps a heritage of our German history that you have to be very careful using the term of hero at all and looking at somebody as a hero.
Even in the case of your father?
Well, you see, a hero is, if anything, is somebody pretty far away. You know, you look up to him, but he's some distance away. And my father's probably too close.